You're listening to Sound Poetry. I am your host, David Gilmore. This is Sound Poetry, Radio Tacoma KTAH 101.9 FM. I'm your host, David Gilmore, and today we have a real treat in store. A performer of numbers of elegies in honor of her mother and her father in their careers late in life. You're going to hear high-level emotionality and a deep feeling of honor for parenthood. Welcome, Leslea Newman of Massachusetts. We're so happy to have you here.
I'm very happy to be here.
Well, it's a real pleasure to see you. Look at yours, all those poetry books in the background.
That is true. So this side is poetry and this side is prose.
You can often tell by the slimness of the spines, can't you?
Yes, that is true.
Well, welcome. I'm glad that you had the occasion on a weekday to do this. Have you been Zooming through your work?
I've been Zooming on and off a lot at the beginning, and then there's been periodic breaks, and now it seems to be kicking up again, you know, because of the new book.
In your teaching capacity at the Spalding University, you're still doing that?
Yes.
And yes. Is that a daily, or is that done according to a program by program?
So that's what's called a low residency program. Are you familiar with them? So there's a 10-day residency, which the last two residencies have been remote, which is very intense, really from morning to night, workshops and lectures and meetings and readings and all kinds of things. And then throughout the semester, I get student packets and I critique them.
All right. Well, I know that you are a constant practitioner of the writing, whether it's children's books or your poetry. I'm glad that you have time for all of this. You're a very busy person by the looks of the catalog of your publications. And you've been working as a poet for many years, right?
Many, many years, decades. Actually, I would say half a century.
That's very good. Good to start young and to keep at it.
Yeah. Well, you know, sometimes I speak to kids and I tell them if there's something that you love, whether it's writing poetry or a sport or a musical instrument, that can be a good friend to you for your whole life. You know, and I feel very, very lucky that I have had that experience with poetry.
Yes, it's a great purpose. It is such an effective way of expressing yourself and getting word out to others to listen up, right?
Absolutely.
Yes, and think deeply too.
Yes, which is important.
And I think poetry is one of those media that do ask a person to think more deeply and imaginatively than many of the genres of literature.
You know? Well, and also to feel deeply.
True. And you're going to give us quite a performance of feeling deeply, aren't you?
That's my goal.
That's what I've noticed in your works anyway. As I told you, the affectivity of your work is particularly profound. Yes. And I enjoyed very much going through I Wish My Father, not just the ones that you mentioned, but I went through all of those and
just shut this door because my cat just opened it and I'm going to shut it. So hang on one sec. You know, they don't like shut doors.
Well, I noticed one of your books is about a cat.
Yes, I have actually many books about cats.
Okay. You're a cat woman besides.
Absolutely.
The works that you have produced are so many. Several books of poetry. Some by a Northwest press called Headmistress Press. The most recent one just published is I Wish My Father. Prior to that, was a book about Leslie's mother. I carry my mother, and a miscellaneous collection of all kinds of verse called Lovely. Perhaps Theodore Retke had something to do with the lovely in her bones. But whatever the inspiration of that, it's a very fine collection on Headmistress Press. Also, Leslie has written many children's books, in fact, prolifically. She's received very many awards and is well published in distinguished journals over the years. As she has just informed me, she has been working for 5 decades as a poet and writer. And so we are really very pleased to have someone of such a distinguished career. And also besides that, there was Poet Laureate a decade ago of Northampton, Massachusetts. So we are really in the hands here of a professional who has much to deliver for us today. So we'll start, I think, with the career and the elegies of your mother poems from I Carry My Mother. Would you like to explain anything about that before you proceed, Leslie?
Well, my mother died in 2012, and she had cancer and COPD, so she was on oxygen full-time for the last 10 years of her life. But her mind was completely intact, and she was really the smartest person I have ever known. You know, she is just the quintessential New Yorker who did the New York Times crossword puzzle in ink every day. When we were kids, we were always, "Mom, you should go on Jeopardy." You know, we thought we could get rich quick because she would call out all the answers. And so she was in total charge of her life and her death. And my job was to carry out her wishes, even when I didn't agree with them. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the roles reversed in some ways because I became her caretaker. And, you know, that was a very interesting and profound and really sacred experience, in my opinion. And I'm very grateful that I was lucky enough to be able to, because I'm self-employed as a writer, really disrupt my life entirely and spend as much time with her as I could to be of service.
Yes, that shows very much in your work, the degree of honoring and serving at the time when it is so important to have a dependent come who is one of the family rather than some extraneous service, right? So you've done a great service to both your mother and your father. But we'll begin with the elegies to your mother, and the deal is where you wish to begin, which is at the beginning of the type of verse form that I notice many of these have been written in. But there's one in advance of that is the prologue to your mother's poems. Would you read that one first, please?
So that poem is called Safe Passage. My mother is preparing to depart and will soon set sail without me. Standing at sea, I keep a close watch as the gangplank is lowered, the whistle is blasted, the all aboard is called, and my father steers my mother by the elbow, his spindly legs unsteady, his scrawny arm slung across her shoulder, which is anchored by the sea green oxygen tank that hangs there heavy as a bag of wet sand. On deck now, my mother leans against the rail as she leaves us in her wake, growing smaller and smaller, waving goodbye one last time, her fingers fluttering in the wind like a sail. My father beside me waving back, his hand opening and closing like a beacon. All is well, all is well. And as we slowly start to drift apart, and she journeys toward a new horizon. I stand ashore, one hand holding onto my hat, the other waving for all I am worth. And though I am buoyed by her love, which floats between us like a lifeline, when she disappears, I taste salt, I come unmoored, the waves knock me down.
Very fine metaphor throughout. So we'll now go into the form of the poems of the deal. Tell a little bit about how you chose that particular verse form with the rhyming.
All of the poems, except for the prologue, actually are written as formal verse. So there are, the deal is a 15 part series of what a triolets, which a triolet is a French form that has 8 lines, 2 rhyme schemes, and 2 lines that repeat in a certain pattern throughout. There's also villanelle, there's haiku, there's all kinds of things in here. And the reason I chose to write in formal verse is because when my mother died, I was so overwhelmed by emotion that they were very unwieldy, and I felt like I needed the structure of form to pour, a container to pour those feelings into, to somehow work with them. Otherwise, they were just all over the place, and I couldn't control them. So that's what was helpful about this. And I actually got my inspiration from one of my mentors, whose name is Jane Yolen, whose husband died of cancer. And every night she would put him to bed and go upstairs and write a sonnet. And I thought, I can't take on the sonnet, but I could take on the triolet. So these poems were actually started, and there were more of them, when my mom was still alive. The rest of the poems were written after she died. So I will read a few. So the whole poem is called The Deal, and I'll read 4 triolets, which are untitled. My mother's doctor tells me here's the deal. She's got 6 months to live, a year at most. His words lodge in my gut, a heavy meal. My mother's doctor tells me here's the deal. I'm very sorry, I know how you feel. But keep your chin up, don't give up the ghost. My mother's doctor tells me here's the deal. She's got 6 months to live, a year at most. My father strokes my mother's swollen hand, his broken body bent in half with grief. He stares down at his ancient wedding band. My father strokes my mother's swollen hand. This ending is so far from what they'd planned. His face a wrinkled mask of disbelief. My father strokes my mother's swollen hand, his broken body bent in half with grief. And now my father's heart is full of hope. My mother's had 2 good days in a row. He clings to her, their hands a twisted rope. And now my father's heart is full of hope. And I, the daughter, clueless how to cope, while deep inside my mother's tumors grow. And now my father's heart is full of hope. My mother's had 2 good days in a row. At last it is my mother's final hour. No more second chances, no reprieve. The stench of death is bitter, sharp, and sour. At last it is my mother's final hour. My father has lost every ounce of power. He wipes his runny nose upon his sleeve. At last it is my mother's final hour. No more second chances, no reprieve. She was just here and now she's just gone. In a New York minute, I lost my mother. How can the rest of the world carry on? She was just here and now she's just gone. On whose loving breast will my head rest upon? I'll search all of my life, but I won't find another. She was just here and now she's just gone. In a New York minute, I lost my mother.
Yes, the movement of the several stanzas of verse really becomes quite effective as one continues through those. I think you chose a very interesting form in which to make profound the statement that is in the beginning of the verse and then finally concluding with that. Very interesting form. I think I'm going to take a good look at that and try some of that myself. Triolet, listeners, that's what you've been hearing in the form. And we're going to go on to a different style, but one that perhaps has got many, many interesting references. And the one that I thought was 13 ways of looking at my mother. Do you want to add a prologue to that one, that's the form that you used?
Well, this is an imitation of the very famous Wallace Stevens poem, 13 Ways of Looking at a Blackbird, which I imagine some or many of your listeners are familiar with. It's really a favorite for writing teachers all over the world because it's such a wonderful exercise for poets of any level, beginning poets, kids, experienced poets, adults, because it forces you to focus your poetic eye on one thing and see it in many different ways, which is what we do as poets. There are several imitations of poems in this book. There's a Robert Frost imitation, an Emily Dickinson imitation. So I decided whenever I am really searching on what do I write next, I often turn to this form, and it's always very revealing to me. And so I probably could have written 113 ways of looking at my mother, but I know her so well, but I kept it to 13. 13 ways of looking at my mother. One, among seven silent rooms in the middle of the night, the only moving thing is a swirl of smoke rising from the lit tip of my mother's cigarette. Two, my mother was of three minds, like the three sorry children she would someday come to bear. Three, my mother whirled through the kitchen, slamming drawers, banging dishes, clanging pots and pans. She was a noisy part of the pantomime. Four, my mother and her mother are one. My mother and her daughter are one. Five, I do not know which I dread more, arriving at my house or leaving it, the pain of being with her or the pain of being without her. Six, knitting needles click and clack as something woolly grows. My mother stares at her creation. Her mood is indecipherable. Seven, oh, skinny blonde airbrushed models staring up at my mother as she flips through glossy magazines. Why must you torture her so? Eight, I know how to make matzo balls big as fists and how to live on nothing but cottage cheese, cigarettes, and air. But I know too that my mother is involved in everything I know. Nine, when my mother moved from Brooklyn to Long Island, she marked the edge of one of many circles. 10, at the sight of my mother staring back at me at 3 a.m. from the unforgiving bathroom mirror, I cry out sharply. 11, I rode home on the train and fear pierced me in that I mistook the Fleming hacking cough coming from three rows back for the sound of my mother. 12, the ventilator is on. My mother must be breathing. 13, it was twilight all day and all night long. She was breathing and she was trying to breathe. My mother lay in the ICU, her hand in mine, holding on for dear life.
Some excellent comparisons in the diction, I felt, having compared it with Wallace Stevens, which is employing certain phrases or words in the same places or in the same verses that Stevens also employed them. Very, very interesting. So now you're going to read another that is further in the work, how to watch your father, watch your mother die.
Right. So, you know, one thing that was interesting to me is that, you know, my father appears in the book about my mother, and my mother appears in the book about my father, but in different ways, because, you know, obviously one parent has to usually dies before the other. I guess sometimes if something horrible happens, like a train wreck, people could have their parents die at the same time. But my father was still alive and witnessed my mother's death. But then my mother could not witness my father's death. So he was actually present with my mother, whereas my mother, during the last 5 years of my life, which is when the book about my father takes place, she is only there in our memory and our thoughts. But here is a poem about my father actually being with my mother at the very end of her life. And it is called How to Watch Your Father Watch Your Mother Die. Sit beside him on a folding chair beside your mother's bed. Place a box of tissues between you. See how he takes your mother's hand in both his own and strokes it like a small, wounded animal. Do not speak. Do not turn on the TV. Do not shatter the silence around you. Let time pass. Listen to your father sigh. Listen to your father sob. Hand your father a tissue whenever necessary. Ask your father if he wants something to eat. Ask your father if he wants something to drink. Ask your father if he wants to go for a walk. Do not press him when he says no to everything. Remember, the one thing he wants is impossible to give him. Let more time pass. When your father gets up to go to the bathroom and says, hold mom's hand, hold your mother's hand. When he returns, give your mother's hand back to your father. It belongs to him. Do not tell your father what the hospice nurse told you. You need to let go so she can let go. When the sun sets, gather the darkened room around your shoulders like a cloak. Watch your father's undying love take your mother's breath away.
Very, very lovely in its grieving and sad feeling. Very, very lovely.
It was a very intense thing to witness, and I felt like it was a real privilege to witness my parents, you know, in such really such intimate moments at the end of my mom's life.
Yes, it's profound poetry. My mother has my heart.
So this poem is also an imitation, and it is an imitation of a poem called My True Love Hath My Heart by Sir Philip Sidney, which was written sometime in the 1500s. My mother has my heart. My mother has my heart and I have hers. We traded on the day that she gave birth. Each passing year, the line between us blurs until the day I lay her in the earth. My heart in her now cracked and split in two. Her heart in me now wound down like a clock. As she and I turn into something new, the love between us hardens into rock. My heart in her, a newborn mourning dove, still safely tucked inside its sheltered nest. Her heart in me, a letter signed with love, a treasure I keep deep within my chest. From this day forth, whatever else occurs, my mother has my heart and I have hers.
Yes, it is a very interesting juxtaposition of sort of an interment and birth. Mm-hmm. There's both of those at work in many of the lines. Yeah, and working at the beginning and at the end with the conjoining of the two. Yeah, lovely idea. That is Sidney, Philip Sidney.
Yes, Sir Philip Sidney.
Yes, Sir Philip Sidney. And the titular poem now for concluding I Carry My Mother is that very, very work.
So this poem is a pantoum, which is a very old form that has whole lines repeated in a certain pattern. So you'll hear lines repeating. And just to make it more interesting and challenging for myself, I decided to make this poem rhyme. So, I carry my mother. I carry my mother wherever I go, her belly, her thighs, her plentiful hips, her milky white skin she called this side of snow, the crease of her brow and the plump of her lips. Her belly, her thighs, her plentiful hips, the curl of her hair and her sharp widow's peak, the crease of her brow and the plump of her lips, the hook of her nose and the curve of her cheek. The curl of her hair and her sharp widow's peak, the dark beauty mark to the left of her chin, the hook of her nose and the curve of her cheek, her delicate wrist, so impossibly thin. The dark beauty mark to the left of her chin, her deep-set brown eyes that at times appeared black, her delicate wrist so impossibly thin, I stare at the mirror, my mother stares back. Her deep-set brown eyes that at times appeared black, her milky white skin she called this side of snow, I stare at the mirror, my mother stares back, I carry my mother wherever I go.
Yes, except for the rhyming, I think there's a feeling, a villanelle feeling in this form too, with the repetition.
That's another form where whole lines repeat in a certain pattern.
Yes, I wonder which one came first.
That's a good question. I believe that they originated in different parts of the world.
Uh-huh. Probably in different countries' poems.
Yes, I believe so.
Yeah. Well, that was an excellent set of readings, Leslie. We could just take a short break. That seems to have been about 30 minutes of reading, but is there something that you would wish to add to this collection that is this the 2000, you published this one in 2015, right?
That's correct.
Was this earlier than Lovely?
No, Lovely came after that. Carry My Mother was the first book that I published with Headmistress Press, which is a wonderful press based in Washington. They do such beautiful books, both in content and just the physicality of the book. They take great care in the design, the cover, every detail. So I feel so privileged to have found such a good home for my poetry.
Did you have a choice in the cover image?
Well, I found an image that was similar, but which my editor didn't like because, and I agree with her totally, but it was just more the concept of shoes because my mother loved shoes. And when I saw this painting, which I think my editor found, I teared up. So I knew it was the right image. My mother loved shoes and had beautiful, very petite feet with high arches, which I refer to in one of the poems. And it was very sad for me when I cleaned out her clothes and had to give away all her shoes because I can't fit into them. I used to joke with her because my feet are much bigger than hers that I could wear her shoes as earrings, which she thought was quite amusing. But I did find two people who I love dearly, my closest friend from the time I was 8 years old and my sister-in-law that could wear some of my mom's shoes. So that makes me very happy.
Yeah. Well, you will notice the cover when you see it in the shelves. I Carry My Mother by Leslie Newman. For those readings, I want to thank you very much for joining Sound Poetry, Leslie. This is David Gilmore. I've been your host for Sound Poetry with, what a pleasure, Leslie Newman, reading from I Carry My Mother.